Pastor and Sister Arderi, they are away this morning. They're in Mansfield ministering to another church. They actually traveled yesterday, and they're going to be coming home tomorrow. So they will be safe. They won't be traveling today. But we have the honor to hear from Bishop Nichols again. And I am excited. No matter what, our flesh, when the weather and everything like this, our flesh automatically just pushes and fights against us. And now the media and, you know, the weather reports, it's all fear. It's all fear. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be careful, but it's fear. That's what they're trying to drive into us. But we are here this morning. Bishop Nichols has drove all the way from Indiana, and I encourage you to have your heart open to hear the word. God has a word for each and every one of us. I know I need the word. So I am excited, and I would like Bishop Nichols to come and have his liberty this morning. So if you'd make him feel welcome.
All right, praise the Lord. You guys are used to this, so snow's not a new thing to you all. I think every time I'm up here, I talked to Brother Arderi about this recently. I said I'd like to come up here when it's warm one time, because I don't believe it gets warm up here, and I don't believe that the sun comes out. I'm kidding. But I'm always here in January or February, and I just feel like I'm driving to Antarctica. I mean, it's cold where we are, and I think we actually have more snow than y'all do. Right now, we currently have about 8 inches of snow on the ground, and it's still falling. It's supposed to be coming in until this evening, and I think we're supposed to get about a foot of snow, and I don't know, y'all are right on the edge of it, so obviously it's snowing pretty hard out there right now, and the plows aren't even making a dent in the interstates and the highways, and some of them drivers want to get up on you, and I'm like, y'all need to get up off of me right now. I'm trying to navigate through here and got people riding in my blind spot, and I'm like, man, y'all driving like, I mean, it's not the Indianapolis 500. We got snow on the ground, so slow your roll. But anyway, it's fun. It does it get warm up here, though? Seriously, it's like for y'all got about 30 days of warmth every year. is that accurate? Is that about right? You got two seasons. You got winter and then not so winter. It get cold the same day. Oh, all in the same day. So you got not so winter and winter in the same day. Well, I'm glad y'all admit it. I'm glad you admit it. But there's a high price to pay for living in the promised land, you know. So anyway, y'all get the lake effect, and then you get whatever this is coming through. You got that Arctic blast coming down from Canada. Canada's not fair to y'all either. And you got the moisture coming up from the Gulf. I think they had storms down in the deep south, but I don't know what this is. But we're gonna get through it. And I'm thankful that you are faithful to the house of the Lord. I know your pastor would be very proud to see this crowd here today, and that's a sign of your maturity. And I appreciate all of you be here. I appreciate Pastor Tyler and Pastor Klein, Brother and Sister Klein, and don't you appreciate Pastor Tyler and this worship team, amen, so much. I enjoy hearing him every time I'm here, and what a wonderful spirit. I honor your pastor and First Lady today, of course. On a rare occasion, she got to go with him this time. And he kind of acting like their boyfriend and girlfriend, and they're. But I'm glad she got to go, and I appreciate great leadership taking care of things in their absence. And I love Pentecostal Community Church and everything that the Lord is doing here in Jefferson, and in Ashtabula, and in Conneaut, and whatever happens next. Amen. I believe in church planting, and I hope you're giving liberally to Christmas for Christ. I have the honor and the privilege. I've spent 13 years, the last 13 years, on the North American Missions Board in Indiana. I'm the North American Missions Secretary there, and this is a big deal to us. We love Christmas for Christ. Our church bought into it a lot of years ago. And our church has been highly, highly blessed because of that. And so I hope you're giving liberally to that. You got a little bit more time, maybe another week or two, to get that offering in. And I'll just kind of put a plug in for that in pastor's absence. But the Lord will bless you for giving to missions. And I have seen a lot of missionaries come through over the last 13 years, and to hear their stories and their families, and you're just talking about usually just a man and his wife, and if they have children, they're usually small children, just kind of, we call them parachute pastors. They're just kind of parachuting into an area that does not have a church. Y'all understand what it means to plant a church. But when you don't have the support of a main campus, it's a totally different ball game. And so they have to depend on programs like this to get their grant money and their support and help them with all kind of stuff. I know Pastor has talked to you about it, but please give to that. If you've not committed to do that, I encourage you to do that, and the Lord will bless you. I want to turn your attention to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, and I'm going to read 3 verses of scripture before you are seated this morning. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about, that the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. I want to talk to you this morning about similes and similitude. Similes and similitude. And what I'd like for you to do, we've made the effort to come here. I've come a long way to be here today. And this is not a throwaway service. We're not just trying to limp through because pastor's out of town and just get a little church in and do a little happy clappy. But I believe that the Lord will challenge us this morning, and he will help us to do the will of God. I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this room right now, and I'm going to ask you to just put your Bibles down, your devices down, or whatever you're reading from, and I want you to find somebody to make contact with, and I want us to pray together. Don't get in a hurry. We're going to take a minute or two, and we're going to pray that the Spirit of the Lord move upon every individual. Would you do that right now? Would you pray out loud? I want you to pray like apostolics know how to pray. I want you to let the Spirit of the Lord move upon you in the name of Jesus. Let your anointing, come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice and let's pray. Let your anointing rest upon every individual. Let the power of the Most High God move in this room. Thank you, Lord, for protecting and overshadowing and watching over us, Lord, as we come to the house of the Lord today. We've come, Lord, not to just hear a lecture, but the inspired word of God, the living word. Let your anointing, God, and let your angels be in this place. I pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I pray that you would cover us, Lord. Let the glory of God overshadow us here right now. Move on the heart of every individual. Somebody in this place, God, has a need. Somebody, Lord, needs a touch from you. Somebody needs a healing. They need a miracle. They need an answer. They need direction. They need revelation. They need deliverance. Come on, that's it. Pray with me right now. If we'll just put forward just a little bit of effort, I believe that the Lord is going to meet with us here over the next 40 or 45 minutes. Let the Spirit of the Lord God minister in this sanctuary. Let the power of the enemy be broken in Jesus' name. Father, we need you in this place right now. Come on, I want somebody to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. That's it. Come on, don't get in a hurry right here. The presence of the Lord is what we came hungry for. We honor you, Lord, in this place. We honor you, God. We honor you, Lord. Let there be a heavenly connection. In the name of Jesus, oh God. In Jesus' name, I want you to clap your hands with all your might. I want you to lift your voice. Come on, I want you to shout to God with a voice of triumph. In the name of Jesus, would you praise him right now? Would you exalt him right now? Father, we lift up your name. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Vocabulary and grammatical expression, of course, is very important to God. He never inserts a word into the Bible that is not an eternal word. And every word has a divine and eternal value. And so it is not accidental. The expressions, of course, that are used in this first chapter of Ezekiel when it talks about his vision of God. The Bible says that there was a rainbow that surrounds the throne of God. If you've ever wondered where the rainbow came from in the story of Noah when God put his bow in the cloud, as a token of the covenant following 40 days and 40 nights of rain, that was not something that God just decided on the spur of the moment that this would be a token, but it was a symbol of the glory of God. You see in Revelation, when John the Revelator sees a vision of the throne of God, in one context, he sees a rainbow about the head of him that sits upon the throne. It is a sign of the glory of God, and it is a sign of the covenant of God. But the question we should ask is, why didn't Ezekiel just say a rainbow or a bow instead of the like appearance of a rainbow? He didn't say throne, but he said the likeness and the similitude of a throne. Those words are important, the likeness and the similitude. Now, if you're not familiar with grammar and English, or if it's been too long since you've been in school, a simile is using the word like or the word as. Anytime you hear the word like and the word as, it is describing something that is in a simile form, and it is helping us to understand that it is not the exact thing, but it is like it. It's not the exact thing, but it is as the thing that is being described. And so he said, it is upon the likeness of the throne. Upon the likeness of the throne was the similitude, and it was as the appearance of a man. It was not necessarily a man, but he was seeing a vision that was the similitude of the appearance of a man. Now, I want you to listen to how Ezekiel sums it up in chapter 1. He said this was the appearance of the similitude of the glory of God. It wasn't the glory of the Lord. It was the similitude of the glory of the Lord. And not even quite that. He describes it as the appearance of the similitude of the glory of God. In Numbers chapter 12, the Bible talks about Moses, and he is describing him to Aaron, his brother, and Miriam, his sister. And he said, my servant Moses is not as you all. He is a faithful man in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. Everybody say mouth to mouth. Even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not able to speak against my servant Moses? It is an example to us that God reveals himself in layers. He shows different men, different characteristics about himself based on their stature in the kingdom of God, based on their calling, their prophetic gifting. He reveals himself in different ways, and I'll help you to understand this more as we go throughout this message today. Now, I want to help you to understand the word similitude, because Ezekiel used it a number of times in these two verses. It is used here in the book of Numbers as well, and then throughout the Old Testament, you will find the word similitude used. It is a feminine noun that it means a likeness or a form of. It is a likeness or a form of. So Ezekiel was not just seeing God himself, but he was seeing things that represented him in a likeness or a certain form. This word similitude is related to another noun meaning a kind or a species. The main idea of this word is one of likeness or similarity. It is normally used to describe God's ban on creating images of anything that would attempt to resemble him. This word can also describe the form or the likeness of a visible image, as we see spoken about in Job chapter 4 and in Psalms chapter 17. Synonyms for this word mean plan, pattern, or form, meaning a likeness. And so one example of a pattern is the description and the architectural design of the tabernacle of Moses. The tabernacle of God was not the image of God, but it was things that represented the similitude of God, if you will. It was not the picture of God. The tabernacle is not what God looked like. And what I mean by that is, the Bible said that Jesus Christ dwelt among us. and we beheld his glory. Jesus Christ was the express image of God, and he was the tabernacle of God with man. But the tabernacle of Moses was not the express image of God, but it was made after the similitude of God. It represented forms of his likeness in symbolism and typology. Are you with me here this morning? And so I'm trying to help you to understand that the Lord was representing himself throughout the entirety of the Old Testament in different likenesses and different similitudes, like a cloud or a pillar of fire, like an angel that presented himself like unto the Son of Man. And we see things that represented him throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, but God specifically warned against us creating things that limit him to one or two different likenesses. We live in a world where people, they make graven images that hang around gold chains like the cross. And God strictly forbade that because the cross was only representing one portion of the similitude of God. You'll see here in just a few minutes as I get deeper into the word today that he forbid even the fish symbol that we see on the backs of vehicles. It's not as popular today as it was back in decades gone by, but he forbade even the fish of the sea to represent him, and he called it idolatry because it was an image that was graven by the hands of men, and it limited God to only one characteristic or one persona. I want to jump ahead just a little bit in this moment and express to you that you can never limit God to one or two things. He is not just one thing. He is everything. He is not just some, but he is all. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? And would you lift your voice and give him praise? Come on, give him praise here this morning. And so we know that Ezekiel was a great prophet, and here he is having this vision of the grandeur of God, but he is careful. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. He is careful to explain to them that what I'm telling you is not all of God. It's just like some of God. It's just as the appearance of God. He is not limited to this, but this is just some of the appearance that I am seeing here in this vision. For the context of this, God is revealing himself with this word so that we can understand another piece of God. Can you say amen? In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 12, God is speaking to the children of Israel, and he said, "The Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no," everybody say similitude. You heard this voice coming out of the fire, that fire that came down on the top of Mount Sinai, that thunder that you heard shaking the mountain there, the finger of God, that the fire of the Lord that Moses saw riding upon those tables of stone, that was just part of the similitude of God, but it was not all of God. He wanted to make sure that they did not make some idol or some image, or they didn't camp out at this revelation only of God. He said, "I spoke to you out of the fire, but it was just a similitude, and only you heard the voice." And then in verse 15 it said, "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of," everybody say, "similitude, on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure and the likeness of male or female. Are you following me here this morning? The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations, unto the whole heaven. And so what he was saying is, as we see today, the Tower of Babel was built because that was the birthplace of astrology, the study of the stars to predict the future. And we see a world that likes to capture celestial bodies of the moon and the stars and the sun. And they make graven images of them to put upon their hands and in their ears and around their necks. And it is all because there is something in the heart of man, boy, I feel an unction here right now, that aspires to know God, and we cannot see him because he is invisible. And so people look to celestial bodies to create some kind of similitude of God and turn it into idolatry. And he said, I forbid you to do that, because I can never be relegated to one or two things, because I am everything all at the same time. The God that we serve in this place right now, the finite mind cannot comprehend him. The carnal mind is enmity against him. Neither can it please him. And so anytime you try to put God in a little cube and a little box, and you say he can only be this at this time, God is saying, you can never limit me. You can never put my characteristics in a box, because I am beyond all. I'm above all. I'm through all. I'm in all, and everything consists of me. Can you shout amen? Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Would you clap your hands? Come on, would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Yeah. God's about to do something in this place. So what does it all mean? Here's the prophet Ezekiel being given this vision of the glory of God, and yet he can only speak of likenesses and appearances and similitudes and resemblances. And it reveals that no matter how hard he tried, he could not describe God in all of his glory. He could only speak of what he appeared to be like in the moment. No matter what he used to describe him, he was telling us that God is still beyond that. Whatever nouns and verbs and adverbs and descriptions that we can give God, he is still beyond that. Whatever words that you can come up with, you may have a vocabulary that includes all of the King's English, but God is still beyond that, because there is really no describing him. No word can contain him. No highest praise can describe him. Not the deepest thoughts that you have, not the most sophisticated theology can limit God, because he is all and in all. And when you think of the vastness of God and the greatness of God and the immeasurable expanse of God, and you compare that to the limitations limitations, of the problems that you face. He is so much bigger than anything that you can face. When you give glory to the devil, you need to compare him to the glory of God. Just one of the characteristics of God will defeat all of the characteristics of the devil. I want to tell you here today, there is no opposition in your life that is greater than your God. There is nothing too tall, nothing too wide, no problem too deep that will overcome you when you compare it to the greatness of our God. I wish somebody would praise him right now. Oh, I wish somebody would praise him right now. I want you to praise him for as big as he is, for as mighty as he is, for as sovereign as he is. Oh, come on, I'm going to give you a chance to praise him. I know somebody praising him right now. I don't know what to praise him. My vocabulary is limited. Praise him anyway. Exalt him anyway. If you want God to be bigger in your life, the psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. The words that we use don't even begin to approach the likeness of his similitude. If even the prophet Ezekiel, to whom God showed these glorious visions of his glory, could not describe him, how much less can we comprehend him? How much less if what Ezekiel was seeing he could not describe. He just said, I can't even, you need to catch this revelation here right now. He's looking at God. He's seeing this movement of God. He's seeing the presence of God. And he said, I don't even know how to tell you what it is. I could just tell you what it appears to be. My language is limited in actually telling you the substance of what it is, but I can only tell you what the likeness of it is. Since God is always more than you think he is, then there's always more for you to find of him. Therefore, you must seek him every day. One writer said, seek him if haply he may be found of you, though he be not far from any one of us. Boy, I feel the presence of God in this room right now. You got to seek him every day, and you got to seek him every moment, because there are layers of God. And some of you don't understand the things that you are facing. You don't understand. You can't explain where it came from. You don't know what brought on the storm. You don't know what to do about it. You couldn't control it. You can't fix it. You don't have the answers about it. But what I'm going to tell you is, in the midst of what you're facing, you are going to see more of God than you have seen before that. You're going to see a characteristic of God that is going to be revealed to you that could not be revealed any other way. How else are you going to know him as the great physician if you've never been diagnosed with a disease that doctors cannot cure? How are you going to know him as the comforter if you have never walked through seasons of sorrow? I wish I had a preaching church right now. What God is saying to us throughout his word is you can never stop seeking. You can never stop learning. You can never stop drawing nearer and nearer into my presence. And the great thing about all of this is that under the old covenant, only one man, one time a year, could go in by the blood of bulls and goats. into the Holy of Holies, and the glory of God that rested upon that mercy seat, which was the symbol of the throne of God in the earth. Jesus said, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That mercy seat and that Ark of the Covenant inside the Holy of Holies was the emblem, the symbol of the throne of God in the earth. But only one man got to stand in that glory. But because we no longer worship through the blood of bulls and goats and lambs anymore, we worship because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the veil has been rent in twain, and the holy, the way into the holiest of all, has now been made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so you have a right to praise him in your pain. You have a right to get a revelation of God in your pain. You have a right to get an understanding of God in your dilemma and in your sorrow. He is there, layer by layer. He is revealing himself. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody discover him right now. I'm telling you, I feel authority in this place. I feel anointing in this place right now. I don't know what the snowbirds did, but you made it to the house of the Lord, and God is about to pull back the veil from your eyes and say, I want to give you another glimpse of how rich that my glory and my power is. Come on, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to praise him like you want to praise him. And so a writer said, draw near to him with an open heart. Everybody say, I got to open my heart. And he will meet with you beyond the appearance, beyond the likeness, beyond the similitude. God has given you, he's given me the right to have a personal revelation of him. He's given you and I the right to have a personal encounter with him. He said, draw near to me. Draw near to him with an open heart, and he will meet with you. Whatever you know of God, he's more and beyond that. Whatever God has revealed to you about himself, there is more that is to come. He's looking for people that are hungry. He's looking for people that are thirsty. Amen. God, I don't always have to have something from you. I just need the presence of God. I don't need you to fix anything necessarily right now. I just need a deeper understanding of you, and I need a deeper revelation. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. So seek to find the more and the beyond of God than you have yet known before. In Psalms chapter 106 and verse 16, the Bible said they envied Moses. I would have envied him too a little bit, I think, maybe, of his close proximity of God. They envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of God. The earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb or Mount Sinai, and they worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. If you're not careful, your perception of God will change your similitude into an image that God never called it to be changed into. Somebody help me right now. When you get impatient with God standing at the bottom of Mount Sinai, when the man of God is gone for a season, when there is, as they say, the cat's away, the mouse will play. Amen. If you find yourself in a valley and you cannot connect with God because the man of God is not there to help you connect, are you listening to me? You got to be careful, because you will turn back to the gods of Egypt and you will say, this is the only God I've ever known. Are you hearing me right now? I don't know what that image looks like to you, but for some it may look like a nicotine stick. For some it may look like a needle, a syringe. For some it may look like an odd colored bottle with an alcoholic label on it. Come on, somebody help me preach. I don't know what your idolatry was before you came to God, but don't miss what God is doing on the mountaintop just because you're in the valley. This ain't a time to make a molten calf. This ain't a time to start trying to force God into a certain mold. Some of you look bored to tears. Some of you need to remind your face you came to the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. It's not just a church building. This is where the presence of God abides and dwells. Oh, come on, somebody help me. There is something that God is pulling us to. He wants us, come on, you can't just let the preacher live for God for you. He cannot live for God for you. He will answer for what he preaches to you. He will answer for what he tells you. He will answer for how he answers you. But he cannot be saved for you. He cannot have a prayer life for you. He can pray for you, but he cannot have a prayer life for you. He can live for God and be a mediator for you, but he cannot live for God for you. Are you hearing me, church? There's got to be something in you. Come on. Do I have anybody here this morning that God has pulled up out of the miry clay? Do I have somebody that the Lord has rescued out of the degradation and demoralization of your life? Does anybody remember where you were before God found you? And I don't care what kind of revelation you have of God up to this point, there is more to come. There's more to come. When you look at the book of Revelation and you're going through all the symbolism, if you've not discovered this yet, almost all, if not all, of the book of Revelation is symbolic. It is figurative. It is not literal. It's not literal. You're not literally going to see a dragon. You're not literally going to see all of these vultures and dinosaur prehistoric creatures and stuff. And you're not literally going to see the moon turn to blood. It's not literally going to happen. It's symbolically. This is the John the Revelator trying to describe a revelation that he's seeing. And you know what the revelation is? The revelation, it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so there's stuff in there that John saw, and there was a place where God told him, don't write these things. You can write these 22 chapters, but these things you cannot write. There's things that John saw that we don't even know about. Then Paul wrote, he said, I was in the spirit, I was called up, and he said, whether in the spirit or in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but I saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. There were things that Paul saw that the church doesn't even know. And I'm telling you, when we get a greater and greater glimpse of God and understanding, I understand we look through a glass darkly. I understand that in that day we will see him face to face. But isn't there a hunger in somebody's mind here this morning that would say, I need to commit myself to prayer. I need to do some fasting. I need to get some clutter out of my life. Can I preach to somebody right now? Because God is wanting to reveal more of himself to you. And he's only going to do it for the hungry. I feel the push. I feel the pull of the Holy Ghost in this room right now. Help me, Holy Ghost. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. So how's your prayer life? How's your prayer closet? Is it full of cobwebs? How about your Bible study? How about studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? If you're not a dreams and vision person, that's all right. God can take you there. But until then, you can read about people that talked about the similitude of God. And you can learn things about God that you did not know. And did you know that the Lord can direct you into his written word and give you a prophetic word? Did you know that you can be in a season? Are y'all here with me this morning? Is this all right? Did you know that you can be in a season where you're about to lose your mind and you can just utter the words, God, I can't seem to hear the prophetic word of God, and so I'm going to open the written word of God, because the prophecy came in old time and holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And so I know before this was written, it was prophesied. Somewhere in this book is a word from God for me, and I need you to take me to the right verse. I need you to take me to the right chapter. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I need you to take me to the right character, the right story, the right caption. In the name of Jesus, I need a word from God. And when I get that word, I need to know more of you than I have ever known before. Those prophets of the Old Testament, Daniel and Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and Moses and David and all of these prophets, these men that God had such a personal relationship with. That is the destiny of the New Testament church. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. When's the last time you prophesied? I'm not talking about prophesying. I'm talking about prophesying. I'm not talking about making up, fanciful stories to make yourself look better and stroke your ego. I'm talking about getting a word from the Lord and prophesying to the wind. Some of you need to get under the unction of the Holy Ghost and let God put a prophetic word in your mouth, and you begin to prophesy to your backslid children. Begin to prophesy to your finances, and begin to prophesy to your families and your situation. Situations in your life. You don't have to preach with me. I need some people in this place to realize that God will put a word in your mouth, and he will give you power over every power of the enemy. You think that God is limited. He is not. He's unlimited. He is immeasurable. Amen. His depth, his width, his breadth, all of those things surpasses all understanding. The prophet Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 15, said, when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude. Everybody say similitude. Of the sons of men touched my lips. Boy, we need that kind of service right now. We need something to touch our lips. We need something to get in our mouth that we can speak those things that are not as though they were. Something touch my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake. Aren't you tired of speaking your own words? Don't you want to speak the word of God? That's why it's important for you to know the word of God, because it's quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God cuts. Open your mouth and speak the word of the Lord. He said, I opened my mouth and spoke and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. That is the posture, that is the reaction that we need to have in the awe-inspiring presence of God. Can I just meddle just a little bit in our Pentecostal ways? Because it ain't just Pentecostal community church. It's every apostolic church and every Pentecostal church. It's real easy to come to the house of the Lord, just do a little happy clappy. There's going to be a couple of songs, and then we're going to have some announcements, and there's going to be another song. We're going to take the offering. Brother so-and-so is going to come up, and we just kind of go through the service with our little Pentecostal traditions and perfections and all of that. And all the while, the Lord is swooning over the church, and he's saying, hey, this is my house. Do you mind if I interrupt protocol here for just a moment? Do you mind if I move in and begin to touch people and begin to heal people right where they stand? Boy, I feel an unction of the Holy Ghost here right now. There's got to be something that gets a hold of us that says, this is not a Baptist church. It ain't a Catholic church. We haven't come here to be dead, dry, stale. We haven't come here to just kind of go through some religious tradition. We come to have an encounter with the God of the heavens and the earth. And so, like Ezekiel, I need a vision of the Lord. Like Daniel, I need something to put me on my face and something to touch my lips so that I can prophesy in the name of Jesus. My God, have mercy. I feel it in this place. Amen. So if you ever wonder how you can describe God, the writers wondered that too, but they were holy men of God that spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. You'll never find in one verse all that God is. You won't find it in one chapter. You won't find it in one book of all that God is. But the Bible tells us that he is Abba, Father. The Bible tells us that he is the El Shaddai. He is the Almighty God. One writer said he is the Ancient of Days, and another said he is the Great Architect. Are you with me right now? One said that he's my avenger, and another said he's the bridegroom. One said he is my buckler, and another said he is my builder. And one said that he is the commander of the army of the Lord, and another said he is compassionate and the gracious God. One said that he is a consuming fire and the creator of the heavens and the earth. One said he is my cup. Another said he is my deliverer. One said he is the dwelling place, and he is the eternal king. One said he's the everlasting Father and the everlasting God. One said that he's the eternal God and everlasting light. One said that he is the faithful creator, and another said he is the faithful God. One said that he is the God of truth. One called him Father, while another said he is the Father of heaven. Another said he is the Father of compassion. He's the Father of glory. He's the Father of lights. He's the Father of spirits. He's the Father of the fatherless and all the orphans. One said he is the fear of Isaac, the forgiving God, the former of all things. Another said, he is my fortress. He is my glorious Father. He is my glorious sword. One said, he is the glory and strength of Israel. Another said, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all grace. He is the God of all the earth. He is the God of Bethel and the God of gods. One writer said, he is the God of heaven and earth, and another said he is the God of hope. Another said he's God of Israel, and one said he is the God of love and peace. Another said he is the God of our fathers, he is the God of steadfast, and he is the God of encouragement. Another said he is the God of my salvation. One said he is the gracious and compassionate God, while another said he is the great king. One said he is the healer, and another said he is my help and my strength. One said he is my hiding place. One said he is high and the lofty one, while another said he is my high tower. One said he is higher than the highest, while another said he is the Holy One of Israel. One said he is the hope of Israel, while another said he is the horn of my salvation. One called him the husbandman, while the book of Exodus called him the I am that I am. Another called him the jealous God, while another said he is the judge of all the earth. One said he is the just and mighty one, while another said he is my keeper. One said he is King eternal. He is King immortal. He is King invisible. But he is also the King of glory. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of kings. He's the King of nations. He is the King of saints. He's the King of the ages. He's the King over the whole earth. One said he's the lawgiver, while another said he is the lifter of my head. One said he is the light, while another said he is the living God. One called him sovereign Lord, while the other said he is the Lord my Savior. One said he is the Lord over all the earth, while another said he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the Lord of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lord the host, the Lord of hosts. He is the loving God, the majesty of the heavens. He is the majesty on high, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the man of war, the mighty one of Jacob. He's the mighty warrior described as champion. He's the most high God, Elyon. He is my song. He is my strength. He's the one who inhabits eternity. He is one who lives forever. He is my portion, my potter. He's the pride of Jacob, the prince of peace. He's my protector, my redeemer, my kinsman redeemer. He is my refuge, my righteous father, my righteous judge, my righteous one. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock of my salvation. He is the ruler of all things. He is Savior. He is my shade and my shelter. He's my shepherd. He is my shield. He is my spring and fountain of living water. He's the strength of his people. He is strong deliverer, strong fortress. He's a strong refuge. He is a strong tower. He is a stronghold of my life, the sustainer of my soul. He's the upholder of my life. He's the Almighty One, the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the Lord of peace. He's Jehovah Shammah. He is the Lord of hosts. He's Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord, our banner, Yahweh Nissi. He is the Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah Sikkenu. He is the Lord that provides, Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who sanctifies you, Jehovah Makedesh. And he is the true God, the upright one. He's the one which was and is to come. And the psalmist said, he is wonderful. Somebody needs to understand, he's not some, he is all. He's not just a little, he is much. He is more than you think that he is. Come on, somebody, praise him. I want you to praise him like you know what he is. I want you to praise him like God will give you a revelation if you praise him. Come on, somebody, help me. Come on, somebody, help me. Lift your voice right now. Come on, this church that you're a part of, you're not come to go through some kind of religious tradition. You are here to be humble before him and let him know, God, you're my everything. You're my all and in all. Hallelujah. Would you step out of your feet, out of your seat, and would you come to the front of this building? Amen. Come on. If you want to fall on your face, you can. If you want to stand on your feet, you can. If you want to kneel, you can. If you want to sit, you can. But however you approach him, I want you to be hungry before the Lord and say, God, I've got to have more of you. Come on, somebody, lift your voice and say, God, I've got to have more of you. I want more of you in 2026. That's it. That's it. Come on. There's a Daniel in this house. There's an Ezekiel in this house. And the Lord is about to reveal part of his similitude to you. He's your banker. He's your lawyer. Whatever you need him to be, he's the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. He is the bright and morning star. Come on, saints of God. Come on, saints of God, right here on this snowy Sunday morning in January of 2026, somebody needs to make up in their mind, this is going to be my year to discover him. This is going to be my year to pull back the layers of God. Hallelujah, God, I need you to open my eyes. I need you to unstop my ears. Let the presence of God consume me in this place, Heavenly Father. Come on, somebody lift your voice. Somebody lift your voice. I call him holy. I call him righteous. I call him loving. I call him gracious. Come on, they're going to sing something here in a moment, but I want you to focus on the presence of the Lord. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever you need him to do in your life, he is that. He is that. You don't need a physician if you're going bankrupt. You need a lawyer. Hallelujah. Whatever you need him to be, that's what he is. Jesus, come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. I want somebody to pray it earnestly. God, I need something. I need something. I need something, God. I need more. I need more. I need more. I need more understanding. I need more revelation. Come on, let them sing. You pray. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Then my heart will sing how great.
Yelamo seke yamayo sotolo mohoya. Yalama satala la mohoya andala mosiki andala maha. Yishoto mohoya la maha yotolo moseke yamaha. Come on, let's hear. Come on, let's hear. Beyond emotion. Beyond emotion, beyond tradition, beyond just mere words. Father, I need you in this place. Oh, yatai and the boseke yamaha, yasotola boho yandala maha. Yelamaya tatala la boho yandala moseke yamaha.
How great
Come on, with lifted voice, a lifted heart. Why don't you reach over and pray with somebody? Why don't you find you a praise partner right now? Why don't you find you a prayer partner right now? And let the Lord begin to do something in your heart and spirit. Let God begin to do something in this church body. He's worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing. Kila maya sata la la bahaya tola mohoya dola mahaya. Sata la la mohoya sakaya ndala moseya bahaya. Yala moseke ya mahaya tala la mohoya dola baha. Sata la mohosa ndala mahaya. And my heart will sing. 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 And my heart That's it, come on. That's it, come on, Pentecostal Community Church. In the name of Jesus, come on. I'm going to be a better worshiper. I'm going to be a better prayer warrior. I'm going to be a better saint of God. You are worthy of all praise. Oh God, we love you, Jesus.
And my heart will sing. How great is our God.
Come on, pray with somebody. Pray with somebody. Pray with somebody. Pray with somebody. In the name of Jesus. Lift your voice. Lift your voice.
Oh. He's a name of
sing that with our voices. And how great is our God? How great is our God? How great, how great is our God? Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being so responding today to the word. I know I felt just extremely pushed and challenged today. I'm so thankful for men like Bishop Nichols, as that he's willing to come here to challenge us, to preach to us, and our pastor, who is over all of us. I honor our pastor, Sister Arderi, and their family, that they love and care about each and every one of us, to challenge us, to push us to be better. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you this morning for your response to the word and God's presence. Before we dismiss today, I do want to make an announcement. We have canceled Ashtabula. Ashtabula service has been canceled due to the weather. And then we're also going to cancel our at-home link groups today. Just due to the weather, as the day goes on, it's supposed to get worse. So link groups are canceled and Ashtabula service is canceled. So be safe going home. And I love each and every one of you. So if we could just close today in prayer, if you would just pray with me. God, I thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that each and every one of us would take this word, Lord, apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that we would just challenge ourselves. God, that we would take this word serious, take our walk with you serious, Lord. Put a fire in our hearts to be better. Lord, we don't live a Christian life just for ourselves, Lord. We live to be an example, to lead our homes, to lead others, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would see that, Lord, that we would take it serious. God, that nothing on this earth is worth, Lord. Everything that we live for is for you and for you and to get to heaven, Lord Jesus, for eternal salvation. Lord, I thank you, and I just want to give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.